When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
The resumption of international sports continues to remain the big talking point of this episode of A View from the Stands as well. The new Formula One season was kicked off in Austria over the weekend, and international cricket resumed in the form of a test match in Southampton on Wednesday in England. Although cricket-wise, what unfolded on the first day in Southampton really cannot be considered action, Rudra. Did you follow it up?
I watched all 17.3 or 17.4 overs of it.
106 balls, yes.
Yes. Was it frustrating to watch this or was it humorous for you? I mean, for me, it was really funny because this is what I expect from cricket in England, right? Rain interruptions. This is the English summer. So for me, that was actually a return to normal.
Precisely.
The new normal was the normal. Yes.
Yeah. So just last year, I was in England covering the World Cup for you guys, for Hindustan Times. And this is pretty much what we had on offer. I mean, we all became like weather journalists for a while. Like you said, this is cricket in England, right? I mean, this is most expected in June and July. Yeah, this is their summer, man. If you could, I mean, like, if you can only wrap your head around that. But for me, it took me right back to the way Test cricket once was in England. I mean, not too much had changed cricket-wise. The ball was seaming around beautifully for those 100 balls that we saw. And there were perfect botch-ups when Ben Stokes, in his first day as Test captain, won the toss and England into bat in like these amazingly like seamer-friendly conditions. And the day we're recording this, the first full session of this test match has just been played in the form of the first session of the second day. And England have found themselves, I think, like 5 down for 80 runs. So yeah, this is classic test cricket, if I may put it that way.
Yeah, and we had discussed about, in one of our stories in the paper, we had discussed about how this will be, you know, a contest between two great fast bowling units. You know, you've got West Indies doing so well with Kemar Roach, Shannon Gabriel and Jason Holder, the captain. And on the other hand, you have Mark Woods, Jofra Archer, Anderson. So, you know, and those guys obviously know their conditions, that it's their turf. So, yeah, I mean, apart from the fact that nobody can use saliva, which will be a thing to watch for as the test match progresses, how that will affect the game. This should be a great contest between of two great fast bowling units.
Ah, beautifully put. And I just want to segue into our next talking point by using saliva, which is Michael Holding, the fabulous West Indies fast bowler, now and possibly a commentator on par with his fast bowling skills, spoke about saliva. And he said in the beginning of his career, before he started touring the world, in the West Indies, when he played in the Caribbean, he never used saliva on the ball, because he said in tropical conditions, in hot conditions, you work up a sweat so quickly when you're a fast bowler that you can maintain the ball by just using perspiration, by using sweat. The first time he actually ever used saliva was when he came to England, because, you know, it was cold and damp and, you know, it wasn't easy to work up a sweat. So these guys are going through the exact same situation at this point, because, again, it's cold. It's really damp because it's raining all the time and it's cloudy. So, but they've managed well so far. But the segue that I wanted to make using Michael Holding, and I would love to hear your thought on this, was his speech, his take on Black Lives Matter yesterday. Because, my God, it didn't just shake up the cricket community who embraced him and his amazing words before the start of the test match, but also, I would say, the wider English community as well.
Yeah, but I mean, let me just start by saying that, I got actually, and this is not exactly related to what you're saying, but I got goosebumps when Michael Holding's voice came over the TV screen and he said, "Welcome to the AGS Bowl." And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't imagine how much I missed Michael Holding's voice, you know, and I would not choose anybody but him to restart cricket. So that was a thrill for me. And yes, a very, very powerful speech. And like with all the other sports that have restarted, what a wonderful thing to see everyone taking a knee, people holding up gloved fists. And it's not just the players. We had the two umpires on the field also taking a knee. And for me, I mean, I'm still actually in two minds. I'm thinking, you know, in some ways I'm thinking, okay, everyone's kneeling and everyone's raising a fist. Does that make this less powerful? You know, when in 1968, when you had Tommy Smith and John Carlos do it at the Olympics, it was
absolutely
so unexpected. It was never seen before. That was something, that was a statement that you could not but register in your head, because it is so rare to see something like that.
And yeah, it was the same with Colin. That was the beauty of it.
It was the same with Colin Kaepernick doing it in 2016. Yep. Nobody had ever done that before. And, you know, to see that man do it, it raised incredible ripples through the sporting community and, in just through normal people. And I'm wondering if every single person is doing it now. If you've got in F1, you had before the start of the race, most of the drivers took a knee. In football, you have all the players taking a knee before the start of the game. In some senses, what I'm trying to say is there is suddenly something very important and very, has it been mainstreamed in a way where, the best example I can come up with is Che Guevara's face on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Is this what is happening right now? Or am I being cynical?
True. No, maybe a little cynical, but no, fair question, fair point that you raised. The only way I would like to answer that is I think this movement today has even more significance than what Kaepernick did or what Tommy Smith did way back in the day, is because this movement is now all about solidarity between all communities and everyone, especially in sports, coming together across sports, across the spectrum, coming together to take a stand together for the fact that racism does exist. They've tried to wean it out of football a long time ago. It didn't work. Because, earlier it was just in Serie A, or it was just a banner on a t-shirt. It was just one club in the English Premier League and so on and so forth. But now it's everyone in it together. And hence, I think, the mainstreaming, as you put it, of this movement is perhaps the most important thing to have come out of the movement in the first place. The beauty about this is everyone is owning responsibility. Everyone is talking about it. And everyone's saying, man, change things for the better now, because we're all watching.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, like basically what you're saying is that the mainstreaming was essential. It was necessary for it to get out and reach out to everyone, everywhere. I mean, and in the same way that you talked about police, I was just thinking about the fact that, black players in football, they would so often complain about racism. They would complain about being treated badly. And you had somebody like Mario Balotelli, who was repeatedly targeted, and he would repeatedly complain. And after some time, I think a lot of people feel like, oh, it's Balotelli's fault, Why is it that everybody else is going along with their lives and playing football, and this one person is complaining and is he whining? Is there a problem with him? And it, obviously now with everybody coming in and joining hands and showing solidarity, that aspect is taken out of the equation. You now know the seriousness of the issue and why, and that it must change, that it needs addressing.
Yeah, or as Holding's great compatriot Bob Marley once said, this needed to catch a fire, right? And it did. It did catch a fire this time.
What a line, yes. I hope it continues. I hope the flame keeps burning.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Talking about something else, you spoke about how what it was when you watched the test match the first day. It reminded you of test matches from an earlier time, right? Yeah. And in a very strange way, I mean, I'm completely going non-sequitur here, but I was Jack Russell. You know Jack Russell, the former English wicketkeeper?
Absolutely. And he's a fabulous painter as well.
A fabulous painter, a fabulous artist. So he's recently come up with a book of, you know, of his paintings. And then I was scrolling through some of the paintings there. And there was this beautiful painting of cricket being played on, you know, one of those fabled English greens. And this could be from the days of the empire, right? Because you had like this expanse of wide greenery, you know, undulating fields. And then far in the distance, there was this cricket match going on and people were wearing whites. And then beyond that, there are all these nice silhouettes of trees and one church spire rising behind it. And it was such a, you know, throwback to an earlier time, to the time of the Raj. And watching yesterday Southampton, the resumption of cricket, watching all those players in white at Aegeus Bowl, which was empty completely. And there was this one particular time when the camera kind of zoomed out and you could see the entire stadium and there was this black cloud coming on top. It reminded me of that painting. And so there's all these like time kind of collapsed in a way. Yeah. So you're absolutely spot on when you say it felt like cricket from an earlier time.
Totally.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, I'm Ruben. My band and I have a new song. I'm also a tow truck driver. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I get to go home at the end of the day and see my bandmates.
When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.